Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Navid Saxena, Program Manager in Visual Studio team. And today we will talk about developing universal Windows app in Visual Studio 2015. So let's get started. There's a prize drawing. There's a draw going on. So if you get a chance, we strongly recommend you to please evaluate this session. Your feedback helps us improve. So please definitely at the end of the session, evaluate and submit your feedback. So I'm still waiting for a formal confirmation from Seattle. I'm waiting on a text on my phone, but a new Windows 10 OS flight and Windows 10 tools for universal Windows app development will be going live right now. So at the end of the session, please go and download your Windows 10 latest flight, which is 10.0.175.0. This is the latest OS flight that will be published today. Go and install your Visual Studio RC with Windows 10 tools, which are required for developing universal Windows app, and then build your first universal app, right? So this is going live right now. They are in the chain of getting published. By the end of this session, you should be able to go and download all this stuff and start building your application. When you are installing Visual Studio, make sure that you go to the custom setup and select Universal Windows App Development Tools. And if you are interested in emulators, you should select that as well. Everything we are going to talk about today will require you to have Universal Windows App Tools installed as part of Visual Studio. If you don't have it, then Windows 10 development will not be supported. So as you're installing in Visual Studio, go to the custom setup, make sure these are checked to avoid any future surprises. So let's talk about the agenda. And the agenda is pretty simple. I'm gonna go and start with the introduction to Windows Universal Platform. And I'm pretty sure most of you have already seen the keynote, and Terry kind of outlined some of the details about the Universal Windows Platform. Some of you must have also attended Andrew Klinik's Windows App Model session, where he also kind of talks about how application model works and what's new in the Universal Windows Platform. So I will give you a quick overview of that. And after that, we will deep dive into some of the Visual Studio tooling that we have done to support Universal Windows App. We have worked across many different features. So in my session, I will be going and trying to cover as many features as possible, and mostly we'll be talking, giving an overview of these features. We have also scheduled some deep dive into some of the big features, which we think are going to be very interesting from a developer standpoint. So I will be mentioning those sessions, and you will also find the details for those sessions in the related sessions slide, and I will recommend you guys to go and attend those as well. And in the last 10, 15 minutes, we will do an open Q&A. But as I'm going through my talk, if you feel that I'm going too fast or too slow, or if you want to ask a specific question about one of the features that I'm talking about, feel free to raise your hand, and I will try to answer it there itself. If not, then we can definitely, hopefully, I will be able to answer all the questions towards the end in the Q&A. Cool. So let's talk about Universal Windows Platform. Last year, when I was here at Build, and we talked about Windows Phone 8.1 platform and shared projects, and Terry presented the plan of where the vision that Windows 10 device, when we will release the next version of Windows, we'll have a unified developer platform. And that's what we have today. Like, finally, we have a unified developer platform that works across all Windows 10 devices, whether it's mobile, whether it's desktop, Xbox, IoT, HoloLens, all these Windows 10 devices all run on Windows 10. And that's a great, exciting news for a developer, because finally he doesn't need to think about different versions and different platforms running on different Windows devices. It's the same WinRT platform that runs across all these Windows 10 devices. For Windows Phone 8.1, if you guys remember, if you have built application, the story was that there was a high degree of convergence, but we were asking developers to build two different application packages. One application package for Windows 8.1, another application package for Windows Phone 8.1, and they used to go to in two different stores, Windows Store and Windows Phone Store, right? And with the Universal Windows Platform, we finally have binary compatibility. You can now use a single project to create a single application package that works across all Windows 10 devices. Right? Say that if you have a scenario in mind where you want a specific package to go to a specific device family. As an example, if you want a Windows mobile package, or just say this package should only go for Windows mobile devices, then you can do that as well. And as part of my talk, I will show you how that can be how you can do that in Visual Studio. Finally, if you look in the image there, in the diagram there, the centerpiece is the Universal Windows Platform. Every API that exists in the Universal Windows Platform, you can use that API and expect it to be there on every Windows 10 device, right? So that's the convergence. But there are still some bits and pieces where there are some capabilities which are specific to a device family. As an example, let's think about mobile, right? There are still a lot of phone devices that are running hardware back buttons, right? So as a developer, you need to think about how exactly my application will go and use the capabilities that are specific to a device family. And that's the place we will go and explore what adaptive code is and how you can write adaptive code. And we'll look at some demos for that as well. So let's now talk about the supported OS for Universal Windows development. From Visual Studio perspective, we always want our developers to be running on the highest version of Windows to get the best developer experience. So if you want to go and build a Universal Windows app, we will encourage you to go and use the latest Windows 10 Flight and install tools and build your application. When you are running on Windows 10, you can go and use any of these deployment targets. So you can run your application in a simulator. You can run your application on the local machine. You can use the mobile emulators to see how your application will work on a phone device. You can use the remote machine scenario to validate your or to run your application on a remote PC or an Xbox or an IoT device. And you can also use a connected phone device to do IP over USB and deploy your application to a hardware phone device, right? So when you are running on Windows 10, all these deployment targets are supported. If you are familiar with, if you're doing UI design, then you can, when you're running on Windows 10, you can use XAML Designer in Visual Studio and Blend to actually go and implement the design to see how your application will look and look at the runtime and use the XAML Designer feature itself. But for the first time, Visual Studio is now going to support Universal Windows app development on previously released version of OS as well. Right? So you can go and install Visual Studio 2015 RC on a Windows 8.1 machine and develop a Universal Windows app. So if you're running on Windows 8.1 because of the previous version of OS, the experience will be slightly degraded. As an example, you cannot, you will not have simulator and local machine as a deployment target because you cannot run a Windows 10 application on Windows 8.1. Right? Similarly, because a XAML designer has some dependencies, it uses the runtime OS to give you the rendering to render the application. So XAML designer will not be available when you are running on a Windows 8.1 OS. But we will instead give you a full XAML editor view with XAML IntelliSense, both for platform and custom type, and you can use that to build your application. At RTM, we will also support building a Universal Windows app on Windows 7, right? Again, because it's a Windows 7 OS, Hyper-V is not supported, so emulators will not work, but you will be able to use remote machine to actually deploy your application on a Windows 10 PC or an Xbox or an IoT, and you can also use the connected phone device to deploy your application onto a phone device and profile it and debug it, right? And as I mentioned before, you will not have XAML designer experience on Windows 7 as well, but you will be able to use XAML IntelliSense. Right? So the message is, whichever OS you are running on, whether it's Windows 7, Windows 8.1, or Windows Server 2012 R2, or Windows 10, you can go and download Visual Studio RC with Universal Windows tools and start building your Universal application. Now let's talk a little bit about project templates. To do that, let's actually go to Visual Studio. So I'll switch to VS. And if I bring up the new project dialog here, you will see that the Universal Windows Project Template are located under Visual C Sharp, Windows, and Windows Universal Node. We have a blank application project template, which you can use as a starting point for building your application. It generates an application package. Other than that, we have a DLL project template, a Winati project template, and a unit test project template. You can see that we don't have any advanced project templates like Hub, Grid, or Split like we used to have for the previous version of Windows platform, right? To mitigate that, Windows team has actually released a huge number of samples. So if you want to go and learn a little bit more about adaptive code, or you want to go a little bit and learn more about adaptive UI, or if you are interested on learning more about a specific API or feature, you will find the right example on GitHub that Windows team has published. So I will encourage you guys to go and explore this GitHub repository, download these samples, and start exploring some of the new Windows APIs that we have added for Windows 10 platform. Now, once you have created your project, so let's step back into Visual Studio, and I will just use my sample application here. So once you have created your project, and if you bring up the project properties, you will see that we have actually added some new properties for Universal Windows App, right? Here you can see that there are two properties, target version and min version. If you click here, you will see the target version combo box is showing multiple SDKs. It's showing 10069 and another 10090, right? Similarly, if you click on the min version, you will see multiple SDKs listed here as well. So what are these properties and how a developer should think about it? These properties are super critical for a Universal Windows app, and I will explain why. Let's take a look at what exactly is target version. So the target version property that you see in the project properties is backed by target platform version in your project file. So if you open up the CS proj, you will see target platform version, and that's what being is displayed in the project properties. What does target platform version means? It defines the version of Universal SDK your project is being compiled against, right? So it defines the API surface that is available to your project, and that's what that target version indicates, right? Think about this. As Windows get into a servicing model and starts shipping more and more updates, there will be different versions of Universal Windows SDK and different versions of Universal Windows platform that will be running on a device. So if you want to go and use the latest feature, you will go and download the SDK. Once you have installed the SDK, in the project properties, you will see the SDKs to be listed there. You can go and change the target version to the version of the SDK you want to use and start using the new APIs. Right? So that's what the target version property does. As part of the build process, Visual Studio will automatically take the target version property and stamp it into the manifest file. So there's a property in the manifest file which is called target device family, which names it says Windows Universal means it's a universal package, and it has a min version and a max version tested. So the target version property is as part of the build process, is it's copied as a max version tested in the manifest file. And when this goes to the store as part of your application package and the OS sees this, it uses the max version tested to quirk an API behavior. So what does quirking mean? In a very simple statement, if Windows decides to change the behavior of an application in the future versions, so if you say that the version I have tested against is 10069, then when they change the behavior of the API, they will quirk it so that the applications that are running on 69, they will still get the 69 behavior and not the latest one because you have not tested against that. So that's the simple way the quirking works. And as a part of the build process, we will stamp the target platform version as a max version tested property in the generated manifest, which is generated as a part of the build process. So what is a min version? The min version is backed by target platform min version property in the project file. And what it signifies that minimum version of Universal Windows platform you should be running to be able to use this, to deploy this package or run this package, right? So again, in the ideal world, when Windows is shipping multiple versions of the universal platform, and there are different Windows 10 devices running on different versions of universal platform, in an ideal world, you will keep the min version to be the lowest number a device is running on. And your target version should be the highest version of the universal Windows SDK so that you're using all the latest and greatest APIs, right? This min version property, as part of the build process, will be stamped as a min version in your manifest file. And when store will see this manifest file, it will filter the packages based on this min version. As an example, if I am running a device which is running 150 version of Windows OS, which is 10.0.150.0, and I go and try to use this package, store will not even list that because it will see the min version required for this package is 69, so it will automatically filter that. Right? So when you're thinking about Universal Windows platform, when you're thinking about Universal Windows projects and the adaptive code, these two properties become very interesting. If you have developed an Android app, I'm pretty sure you guys already know they have three different versions, but pretty much the story is the same. Make sure these values are set correctly in your project file and specify based on the SDK that you are using. Now let's talk a little bit about Windows Device Family Extension SDKs. So as I mentioned, we have a unified developer platform, but there are still some capabilities that exist specific to a target device family, right? And we talked about hardware button on phone. To allow developers to actually use these APIs and use these capabilities which are specific to a device family, we have introduced the concept of device family extension SDKs. Right? So let's actually go to Visual Studio and take a look at that. So for this one, I'm just going to use my cookbook application. Before we dive into this, let's actually just run this application and see what it does so that you guys are familiar with it. So I will go and run this application on local machine. Pardon? Oh, okay, I will just try to fix it. I'll fix it after this. So my app, it's a very simple cookbook application. And I can just go, it's basically showing a set of categories here, which is appetizers, soups, and breads. I can go and click on a specific category, and it will show you a set of recipes for that category. And you can click on a recipe, and it shows you instructions and ingredients for preparing that recipe. And you can click on a back button to navigate back. This is actually using adaptive UI, so you can go and actually resize the application, and you will see it's actually resized and shows continues to show the right elements in the right layout. And I can go back and run this same code on emulator. So it's the same universal single project, which I'm now going to go and deploy to emulator. Just to save some time, I've kept the emulator open already. And we have the same application now running on a mobile emulator as well. Again, I can click on a category, and it pretty much works the same way. Right? So it's the same universal app working on both PC as well as on your mobile phone emulator. But now, if I go and click on the back button, you will see my application exits. Now, this is not the best experience that a developer would like to provide it for the application, right? In the real world, when somebody presses on the back button, you would like the application to navigate back to the previous page, right? So how, let's go and fix that for this application and see how that will work. So let me see if I can increase the font size. Tools options. Or I can just raise the zoom. That might be the easiest way. Does it look better? Awesome. So as I mentioned, hardware back button are exposed as part of a Windows Device Family Extension SDK. So let's actually go and add reference to that. So if I go and right-click on the references and bring up the Add Reference dialog, and go into Windows Universal Extension SDKs, you will see that there are different Windows Mobile Extension SDK, Windows Desktop Extension SDK, as well as IoT and PPI, like all different device family, if they have some additional capabilities, they will ship an Extension SDK for a developer to be able to use that. So you can go and select the Extension SDK here and click OK. And in pretty much it exactly works like you have, if you have used a third-party extension SDK, the workflow is identical. Just go and add the reference. Once you have done that, Visual Studio and MS Build will automatically find the right contract WinMDs for you, and it will start using those WinMDs to allow you to use those APIs and build against them. So once I have done added the reference to Mobile Extension SDK, I will go and wire up my hardware back button. So I will write the code windows.phone.ui.hardware.input.hardwarebuttons.backpressed. So as I'm doing it, I want to show one of the cool features is the Developer Assistant SDK that is powered by Bing, and that's recently we have shipped. What this Developer Assistant does is as you are writing and using your API, it actually uses Bing to give you a sample code of how this API should be used. So here in the example is showing me that you can wire up your hardware back buttons, and you might want to go and put it in an adaptive check, and we will know, we'll discuss why. So I will just go and wire up my back button here and generate my event handler. Right? So that's pretty much it. So if I go and run this code right now on local machine, what will happen? Anyone? It will crash. Why it will crash? Exactly. So that's what he mentioned. If I run this same code on local machine, my application will crash right now because desktop doesn't support hardware back button. So let's actually still go and run it. So I will still go and run this application. And let's see what we expected is correct. So my application runs, I go and click on appetizers, and boom. My application crashed with type load exception, saying that this type does not exist on desktop. If I go and run this code on mobile, it will work fine, right? So how are we gonna go and fix this, right? How we can go and use the hardware back button or any other capabilities which is specific to a device family and still maintain a single application package that works across all device family? This is where the concept of adaptive code comes in. I'm sure many of you must have already used Reflection in .NET, right? And what we have done in Windows 10 is essentially implemented Reflection-like APIs as part of WinRT platform itself so that these APIs are available on for .NET developers, which is C# and VB, for C++, and even for JavaScript, right? So let's go and use these adaptive APIs. To do that, I will write an if check and say windows.foundation.metadata.apiinformation. And here you can see there are different methods implemented. You can use to check for a particular type, a particular enum, a particular property, a method. In this case, we are just going to go and use isTypePresent. So again, the developer assistance is telling me you need to pass the string for the type that you are checking. So I will just do that. And I wrap this into a if check. And then and pass this right here. Right? Once you have done that, let's go and set a couple of breakpoints and run this code again on local machine. So I click on appetizer, my breakpoint is hit. When I go and press F10, the check fails because it tells desktop runtime doesn't support hardware button, this type does not exist, so my event is not hooked up. And if I press F5 again, my application is actually working, right? So the application now is working because we have written an adaptive code to actually check for the presence of a particular type when you're running the application. If I go and run this same application now on an emulator, it should not take more than a couple of seconds to deploy. So let's actually go and run this again. Okay, and here it's working in emulator. I can go and click on appetizer. In this case, if I press F10, it returns true. So my event handler is now hooked up. Now if I press back, I get the event call back, and now I can go and write couple of lines of code, say frame con can go back, frame.goback, and it will do the navigation. So that's the adaptive code for you. So let's actually switch to our deck. So we talked about extension SDKs, we talked about adaptive code, and again, these adaptive APIs are located under Windows Foundation metadata.api information. You can go and explore and use some of these to actually try out the capabilities which are specific to a device family. I'm not going to go and talk about anything about the adaptive UI, but XAML team has done a lot of cool work to allow you to actually go and design the UI of your application based on different form factors, right? And Tim Heuer and Harini are going to do a deep dive on this tomorrow, and kind of they will explain how we should think about all these devices, how we should think about form factors, and what are different ways in XAML. They have introduced different ways of using adaptive triggers, which are integrated as a part of Visual State Manager, to an extent that you can actually go and create totally different XAML files and load them into the based on the devices that you are running on. So it's a pretty interesting topic, and if you are interested in adaptive UI, we strongly recommend you to go and attend this session, and they will be covering it in depth. Now let's talk a little bit about third-party extension SDKs. Extension SDKs have been a critical component for Windows platform. Whether it's Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, there are a lot of extension SDKs that are out there which developers are using. And it's a common way for developers to actually share the code and components with other users and developers, right? For universal Windows platform, we will support referencing existing Windows 8.1 extension SDKs in your universal projects. So if you have an existing Windows 8.1 extension SDK, whether it can be a behaviors SDK that Microsoft ships, or it can be a third party, another SDK like Telerik, DevExpress, and you can just go and reference the existing Windows 8.1 extension SDK in your universal project and use that. The Windows Phone 8.1 extension SDK is currently not supported. We did some analysis and found that in most of the cases, there was a backing identical Windows 8.1 extension SDK, so we didn't see a gap in the scenario. So we have not supported Windows Phone 8.1 extension SDK. But this is a point where I would love to get some feedback. If you see there's a Phone 8.1 extension SDK which is not available on Windows 8.1 platform that we should think about supporting, then please send me the feedback, and I will have my contact information, and we'll try to look into that. So for Windows 8.1 extension SDK, let's go and take a look, do a quick demo for that as well. And to do that, I'm going to go and use Blend. In Blend, the way for adding the reference to the extension SDK, again, I will go and say add reference. If I go to extensions, you will see the behaviors SDK listed here. And I don't know if you can see it at behind, but it, in the path, it shows it's coming from Windows 8.1 location. So this is actually Windows 8.1 extension SDK that are being shown in the context of a universal Windows platform, and you can go and use them. When you will try adding a reference, it will show you a small warning icon just to indicate that this is not targeting a universal platform, but it's targeting Windows 8.1. This is a different platform. You can still go and add this. Once you have added the reference, in Blend, you can see the behaviors right here in the assets panel. If you're not familiar with the concept of behaviors, it's a pretty cool concept. It allows adding interactivity. It's basically used by designers to add interactivity without actually going and writing code. So let's assume that if I want to go and wire up my back button in my application, I can use behaviors to do that without writing code. How you can do that is basically I will go and use an event trigger behavior and drag and drop it on the back button in my application. Once I have dragged it, if I go into the properties, it tells me that the source for this event trigger behavior is button, and the event name is click. So it's basically wiring up the click event, and that's what the behavior is doing behind the scenes. And if I go and use the navigate page action, I can drag and drop an action onto my behavior, and I say the target page is categories. Right, so it's a recipe page, it will go back to category. And that's pretty much it. Right, so I have not written any line of code, but using behaviors, I'm adding interactivity. If I go and run this application here, I click on appetizer, and I click on the back button, and it takes back to categories page, right? So that's the behaviors extension SDK, and it's a Windows 8.1 version that we are using in a Windows Universal application. If you're using a C++ version of Windows 8.1 extension SDK, it's a native extension SDK, then you have to go and explicitly add a reference to Visual Studio 2013 C++ CRT framework for universal Windows apps. And I will give you why. The existing CRT, which was shipped as a part of Visual Studio 2013, doesn't work with universal Windows platform because of the changes in the manifest format. The package manifest has significantly changed in the universal Windows platform, so the existing CRT does not actually work in universal Windows platform. What we have done here is we have taken the Visual Studio 2013 C++ CRT, packaged it with the new manifest format, and then shipped it again. And that's what you will need if you want to use an existing Windows 8.1 C++ extension SDK. If you don't reference this CRT and you're using a native component, you will get a runtime exception. So please make sure if you're using any C++ Windows 8.1 components, reference this updated CRT to be able to use it. Developers can go and build extension SDKs specifically targeting universal Windows platform, and they can build this extension SDKs and use adaptive code for the platform APIs. So a lot of people here, a lot of people have authored the extension SDKs. If you're doing that, if you're creating a new extension SDK for universal Windows platform, you can actually go and write adaptive code. So you can have a little bit different experience on mobile for your API, and you can have a different experience for desktop based on the capabilities that a device family support. But you can maintain a single extension SDK and use adaptive code to do that. Also, you can go and write adaptive code across different versions of Universal Windows platform, right? So if there are multiple versions of Windows Universal platform that's shipped, you can go and write adaptive code against different versions to using the type check, property checks, and everything, and still maintain a single extension SDK that works across all of them. The extension SDKs for Universal Windows platform are located under Microsoft SDKs Windows Kits 10 extension SDKs folder. So if you're authoring one, please make sure you install it in the right location, as it's not going to work. I want to briefly talk about the SDK manifest.xml because we have changed certain properties here. So if you are authoring extension SDK, this will be useful to you. You need to mention that target platform is equal to UAP. What UAP stands for is Universal Application Platform, and that's what the UAP term is. You need to make sure the SDK type is marked as external. The other values for the SDK type are platform, which is used by the device family extension SDKs, or framework, which is used by frameworks like CRT and stuff like that. So in ideal case, for third-party extension SDKs, the only value which is supported is SDK type is equal to external. If you don't mention that, we will by default assume that it's a third-party extension SDK. And as I mentioned before, if you're authoring an extension SDK, please make sure you specify the target platform min version and the target platform version properties. The min version here will indicate the minimum version of a universal Windows project a developer needs to be running on to be able to reference your extension SDK, right? And the target platform version means the SDK that you are basically compiling against. So we will use the target platform min version in Visual Studio to filter out the inappropriate SDKs for the developer. As an example, if I have a new SDK which requires min version 169, which is shown in the example, and if I'm running a project with a previous version of the OS or creating a project which is targeting a previous version of the SDK, let's say 150, then this extension SDK will not be even visible in the add reference dialog because Visual Studio will filter it for you. So make sure these properties are set correctly in the SDK manifest.xml. This is a small FYI. If you are using V6 installer to go and install your extension SDK, then you need to make sure that you specify the target platform identifier and target platform version as Windows Kits and 10, because V6 setup actually uses this property to install the SDKs in the right location. So it's a small FYI. If you're using V6, make sure these properties are set correctly, else your installation will not work. Now let's talk a little bit about NuGet. NuGet has been one of the most popular mechanisms for developers to share their code DLLs and components with other developers, right? It's very, very popular. For Universal Windows Platform, with Visual Studio 2015 RC, NuGet will allow you to go and add reference to an existing Windows 8.1 NuGet package, and you will be able to use that. So to do that, let's again go back to VS. And in this case, I will go and open up a simple demo app. If I right-click on references and go to manage NuGet packages, and I can search for any Windows 8.1 NuGet package, let's search for Callisto. And this is one of the most popular ones that's being used right now. I can go and install it. It targets Windows 8.1. I can go and install this NuGet package in my project. I click OK. And once it's added, I can go and build it. So if you are, if you own one of the NuGet packages that's targeting Windows 8.1 with Visual Studio 2015 RC, please go and try to use that in the context of Universal Windows app and make sure it's working appropriately, because it's totally a supported scenario. And in this case, the build works. You can now go and use the controls which are shipped as a part of Callisto, and it's all expected to work. At RTM, we will also support referencing Windows Phone 8.1 NuGet packages in your Universal Windows app. This is still in, we are still working on it. It's not fully there, and hence it is not supported as part of Visual Studio 2015 RC. But you can, at RTM, we will support referencing a Windows Phone 8.1 NuGet package as well in your Universal Windows platform. Also, developers will be able to author NuGet packages specifically for the Universal Windows platform at RTM. If you are interested in the of trying some early preview bits for this, and if you want to go and try some Windows Phone 8.1 NuGet packages, here is my email address. Send the request to me, and I will give you the early preview bits for NuGet that you can go and try and see if the scenario works for you. Now let's talk a little bit about App Insights. As a developer or as an enterprise, one of the biggest things that is important for the developer and the enterprise is to understand how their application is actually being used, right? Which features in the application are being used by the consumers, by the users, right? Which are the specific features where developers are spending maximum amount of time in the application? And these kind of telemetry data helps the enterprise and developers to actually go and make the right investments, right? Which are the right places in the application they should invest and focus on to be able to actually get better ratings and improve the ratings. And there are different telemetry engines that exist right now. And for Universal Windows app, we will be using App Insights. So every Universal Windows app will, by default, will have an App Insight experience integrated as part of it. Right? And without even writing a single line of additional code, that the App Insights will tell you the number of users for your application, number of sessions for your application, which specific views or number, the count for the different views which are being used in your application. If you have crashes in your app, it will give you the status information about those crashes and all the real-time usage of your application, which countries your application is being used on. What kind of devices your app is running on? What are the resolutions for these devices? All this information, you will get it for free without even writing a single line of code using App Insights. So let's actually go and take a quick demo of that. So for that, I'm going to go and use my cookbook application again. So here's my app. There are two different ways you can integrate App Insights. The one way is when you're creating your project, you have a checkbox here which tells you to link your existing Azure account. Now, it's not a critical requirement. If you don't do that, you will still be getting this data, but the data will be coming from the store portal. You will have to go to the store and see what kind of data, like they will have the user data and crashes and stuff like that. But if you like a much more detailed view about the App Insights data, then you should probably have an Azure account and use that to automatically link your project with an Azure account and use App Insights. If you already have an application, like I have for my cookbook, then you can right-click on the project and say, add telemetry App Insights to the project. When I click on this, it will basically ask me to sign in. So I'm just going to go and provide my Azure credentials. And once it's added, it's showing me the list of Azure applications I have. And I will go and select the cookbook, which is this application, and go and add this app. So at this point, Visual Studio is adding a bunch of NuGet packages for App Insights into the application itself. And that's pretty much it. Just to show you what exactly the code we are using for App Insights, you can go and open up app.xaml.cs, and you will see a telemetry client, which is Microsoft.appinsights.telemetry client, and that is just initialized in the application object. That's pretty much it. Now let's go and run this application on local machine. And let's go and we can delete all these breakpoints. F5 again. And the application works. Now if I go back here and I bring up the output window, in the output window, you will see specific App Insights event which are being sent from my project to App Insights, using App Insights telemetry to Azure. Right? Also here in Visual Studio, it actually showing me that there were three different App Insights event which was sent for this project in this execution. I can go and click on this, and it will automatically open up the Azure portal for me. So it should directly open up the application. If that doesn't happen, you can go and browse and open up your application. So this is the cookbook application we associated with in Visual Studio using App Insights configuration. And now here it is telling me that there were 8 users for my application, me and my team who were working on this app. There have been 51 sessions for this application. There were 100 different page views. If I go and click on a specific one, it will go and drill down into the data. So when I click on the page views, it tells me exactly all the details that there were 19 unique count for categories page and what exactly number of page views and everything for each page. It directly tells you and gives you that information. If you run into any crashes, you will see the crashes here itself. For example, it shows me that there were argument null exception in my code, and you can go and see which kind of OSs that was running in, what kind of devices that were running in, where this crash was happening, and get that data directly here using App Insights. If you go down below, you will see the devices this app is running on. So 244 L62 is my laptop, which I'm using right now, and it tells me that I'm running Windows 10 173 build, and these are the different resolution that I've used for my application, right? Also, if you go below, it tells you even the diagnostic events. So if you click on this, it tells you every event that App Insight has collected for your application. And it will take a little bit, it's all the page views and everything it basically collects and kind of shows you how exactly. So this is exactly what we did right now. It's 4:29, 2:43 p.m. We just clicked on the recipe, and the data is already populated in App Insights. Right. So all this information and telemetry data you can get for your Universal Windows app without even writing a single line of code using App Insights and using the default project templates. Yes, you have a question? Can you say that again? It uses the data on which one? Yes. You're saying a collection for the data? I have to double check with that. I don't know whether you can opt out of that or how that works, but I can follow up that as a follow-up question. Look into that. So if that has happened, what about if you want to go and you add some custom telemetry, right? If you want to go and say, I want to track my own event, or I want to track my own telemetry points, you can easily do that as well. So for example, in this application, let's go and add a custom telemetry event. To do that, I will go and say cookbook.app, and I've already created a telemetry client, so I can use that. I say telemetry client.track event. And the track event APIs, I will pass in a string of which event I want to go and track. So let's say I'm going to track unnavigated to. And then it takes a dictionary if I want to pass some additional data. So I will pass a new dictionary with string. And here I will pass the additional data I want, let's say categories, because we are tracking which specific categories was clicked by the user, the most popular category, and I will pass the category that the developer has clicked using parameter dot to string. I close this, I need to close this, and that's it. Oh, I'm probably missing. Yep. So that's pretty much it. I will go and run this application again. Now let's go and click on a category. I clicked on Brett's. So let's go into Azure portal now and go back to the application. Refresh the data. And here it is telling me all the custom events that I'm tracking. So I'm using unnavigated to for tracking the events. And if I go to the diagnostic search as well, it should, if the data has populated, it should show me the custom event that we just fired. And this is where it is. So 2:48 p.m., it tells me the custom event unnavigated to was fired and the categories was bred and the application development. So it's like just with a single line of code, I was able to hook up my custom event using App Insights, and you can see it get instanced within a 30, 50 seconds, it gets populated in the portal. Even less than like 15, 20 seconds get populated in the Azure portal. So that's one thing I would strongly recommend. If you care about adding telemetry, go and explore App Insights and try using this while you're building a universal app. So we already looked at the custom events. One final thing that I want to go and talk about is the how you should think about if you're already building an existing Windows 8.1 or Windows Phone 8.1 application, how you should think about building a new Windows Universal app, right? And there are a couple of different proposals which I think a developer can think about. The first proposal is if you already have an existing application, I'm pretty sure that you want to go and maintain those existing applications to target the existing device, Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1 device. So what you can do is you can go and add a new universal project, right? And this universal project will be for all Windows 10 devices that you want to target. You can use adaptive code to go and check for device-specific capabilities and write code against that. You can use adaptive UI that you can go and talk about. We will be learning more in Tim's session, but you can use adaptive UI to have the form factors and to make sure you have the right design and running on the right form factor. And you can use shared projects, Winarty components, portable class libraries, and DLLs to share the code between all different versions. So you can use all of them to share the code between Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, and a universal project. So in this solution, you are basically maintaining three different packages. One for Windows 8.1, one for Windows Phone 8.1, and one for the universal package that targets all Windows 10 devices. Now, if you go and care about, specifically about creating a package which is specific to a Windows 10 device family, as an example, because of some constraints, you want a specific package to go from Windows Mobile and a different package to go on rest of the devices, you can still do that. To do it, you will go and create a new universal project in your solution. You will open up the manifest file and change the target device family from windows.universal to windows.mobile, right? And then specify the min version and the max version tested value for windows.mobile device family. And these values will be published by Windows on MSDN. So you will go to MSDN and you will see what are the current versions of Windows.mobile that are running in the market, use that values and stamp it into the manifest file, and then your package which is going to be created will only be applicable for Windows Mobile device family, and it will not be applicable for other like desktop or IoT and Xbox. If you want to go and target rest of the devices, you can create yet another Windows Universal project, which is targeting for rest of the devices, and then use shared projects, Winrt components, and DLLs to share the code between them. So in this case, I'm building two packages for targeting Windows 10 devices. One is a universal package that goes to Xbox, IoT, and every other device, and there's one package which is specifically being built for Windows.mobile devices, right? So when these packages go to store, if a consumer is downloading your app and he's running mobile, the store will automatically push the mobile version of your application package. If he's running on desktop, the store will push the desktop version or the Windows.universal version of the application package to that device. The store is already capable of doing that. So that's the way you will be able to author a package specific to a device family. These are the resources. I already talked about Windows samples on the GitHub. Also, for a developer assistant, you can go and download it directly from aka.ms dev assistant and go and try it to get some sample code in the IntelliSense experience itself when you're writing code. Finally, the related sessions. One of the key things that we are doing for Universal Windows Platform is using .NET Native, right? And with making .NET Native as a default experience for Windows 10 applications, there are a lot of implications on the developer workflow itself. To have a deep dive of how exactly .NET Native works, Uni, my manager, is going to basically do a session tomorrow, and I strongly recommend you guys to go and attend that session because it's going to go and deep dive of how exactly you should think about .NET Native when you're building a Universal Windows app. We also have another session on XAML tools. He's going to talk about more about what exactly are the new tools and the new profiling tools that we have enabled to support XAML platforms. There are a couple of other interesting sessions. The adaptive UI I already talked about, which is being done by Tim. And finally, the 7:41 session, the Sam Jarvan on Friday will go and explain what exactly is the migration process for Windows 8.1 to a universal project. We don't have an automatic upgrade experience in Visual Studio for moving your existing Windows 8.1 or Windows Phone 8.1 application to Universal Project. So he's going to go and deep dive of how exactly, what are the API changes, what are the manifest changes, how you should structure your project, and go into detail of that. So that I would definitely recommend you to go and attend that session as well. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take it right now. I have my Twitter handle and email right up there. Yes, if you have mics, can we get the mics for the questions? And if you have time, please evaluate the session. Your feedback is super important and help us improve. So thanks for taking time to attend this session. Please evaluate it. And now I can answer any questions that people have. If you have mics or patterns and practice, I would expect them to be continually supported. I have at least not heard that this is planned to discontinue Prism, but this is outside my team, so I have to follow up with them, but I've at least not heard that they are planning to not support it. Yep. Yep. So the data gets popped. So the question is, what happens if the app inside the client is not really connected? I think so. What their mechanism is that they collect it and then later they push it. And I would expect that to be that will be the case, that they will still collect the data and later on push it. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you explain the references node?
In the references node in the source code?
Yeah,
okay.
This is a Windows namespace, right? New.
Okay, let's actually go and take a look at it. So right now it's using .NET Framework 4.5.1, and the .NET Framework itself is kind of evolving right now with all open source, and how we are also thinking about how exactly it makes sense to actually break the .NET Framework so that it actually can revise on a much more faster cadence. So there's still a little bit of evolution going for .NET Framework, but right now it's using 4.5.1. It is possible that at RTM, we will be breaking that into, like one of those things that we are looking into is it possible to break the .NET Framework into a set of NuGet packages that developers can go and reference? So there's going to be a core set, but if you want to go and use a specific new .NET API, you might have to go and reference a new NuGet packages that actually goes and adds for it.
Okay, can you expand that reference
system? This one?
Yes.
Yep. So this is basically saying it's a .NET application. That's what it's saying. It's basically targeting a .NET framework. This is the Behaviors SDK, which is a third-party extension SDK that we referred in my demo for using Behaviors, right? These are the mobile extension SDK is the platform extension SDK because I want to use the hardware back button. That's what it's being used for. Yeah. And then these are all the NuGet packages which are being used for App Insights to actually collect the data and push it to the Azure portal. So this is used, these all App Insights are the NuGet packages that the App Insights are uses for collecting the telemetry. And this is another NuGet package that I'm using for parsing my data, sample data, to actually show in the application. That's the NuGet.json.
And
the NuGet.json? It's basically saying it's a universal application. That's what it's showing. That's it. Yeah, this is because it's a universal application. That's the reason it's showing a thing. That's the only thing. Yeah. Cool. Yep. Yep.
How does
that work in binary? So, okay, I can give this. This is an interesting answer, and Uni is going to go and deep dive into it, but I will give you a short answer here. If you look into this, we actually don't have any CPU any longer supported in the managed applications. So the only, you have to actually go and, in the case, even in case of the managed application, there's no any CPU. They are going to be x86, x64, and ARM, which is true for C++. When you are building your application. And when you're building an application package, you have to specifically target a configuration. If you're building a library, you can still build an any CPU library. That will just go and when you get it referenced in an application package, based on the configuration of that application package, it will go and build against that. So, yes.
How is it going to work against different devices like Windows Phone is CPU and Windows?
So, the question is how it works is basically when you go and when you build your application, when you go and upload your package, right, when you upload the package, it's going to build against .NET native, right? It will get compiled into C++ code, essentially, which is .NET native. When you go and upload your package, the package will contain all the three configurations. As a part of the Visual Studio build process, we will build all the three packages for you, and you will upload all three to the store. And based on the devices that are running your thing, the store will push the right configuration onto the device. That will be the story, yeah. And again, this is something that we are going to cover tomorrow as part of the .NET Native talk. Yeah, yep.
Okay, will there be some sideloading possibilities? Or because universal apps would be interesting,
yep.
But I'm in a configuration where I'm not in a big enterprise with its own shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the customers are behind strict firewalls, so again, no shop possibility, but I would like to have some of the universal app features instead of going WPF.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something planned, or will we stay restricted to only via shop?
No, you can do side loading today as well. So for enterprise, you have to probably, this better question for Andrew Klinik and App Model team, but side loading works today on Windows 8.1 as well, and that is going to be supported for universal Windows platform as well. Okay. So there's absolutely a story that you can go and side load an application, you don't have to use Windows Store and deploy your application. How exactly that workflow works is something that you should follow up with Andrew Klinik. He's around here, and I'm pretty sure his talk actually covers the part of it. Yeah, but side loading is definitely a supported scenario for universal Windows platform.
Because before it was sometimes restricted, so
yeah,
it was not usable for tailor-made apps to.
No, it's going to be supported, and I would refer, check with Andrew Klinik. I'm pretty sure your scenario should be definitely work. I don't see a reason not for it not to be supported.
Thank you.
Yep.
Is the whole .NET framework API supported by universal apps?
So right now it's targeting .NET 4.5.1. So that's the API set that is there. But I can show you something cool, which if I can do it quickly. one thing that we are looking at is, which I was mentioning, is we are looking if when you go, so let me actually go and create a new project. That would be, or let's use this one, demo app, okay. One of the things that we are looking at it is how the evolution of .NET will happen, right? So if .NET goes, right now the story for .NET is it's shipped as a part of the OS. There's a .NET runtime which is shipped in the OS, in the Windows, and when you go and revise, we are basically tie up to a Windows schedule. But we are looking into a way that how we can go and innovate on the .NET API front and keep shipping new APIs without actually being tied to Windows itself, right? So one of the ways we are looking at it is using the NuGet packages. So here, if you see, when you create your demo app and you go to the packages, you will see some packages which are installed by default. One of the packages is System Numerics Vector 4.0. This is actually a .NET API, right? When you create your project, we automatically go and add a reference to the NuGet package because we expect this to be a popular enough API that a lot of developers will be using it, right? But think about it, if there are more new .NET APIs, you will have an ability to right-click on the project and say Manage NuGet Package, and go and add, find the right APIs you want to go and use, add reference to it, and start using it. Because it's NuGet, it's your part of your application itself. It gets packaged as a part of your application itself, so that if .NET goes and revises some of the APIs, you will not be broken, right? And if you want to use the new APIs, you go and add a reference to the new version of .NET NuGet package and build against that. So this is the plan that we are still working on it. It's not like super concrete that we can go and say, yes, this is the final plan. But we have taken the steps to go into that direction. And one of the steps is basically shipping System Numerics Vectors as a NuGet package, which gets automatically referenced in the part of your application.